This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3608 for Wednesday, the 1st of June, 2022. Today's show is entitled Battling with English Part 5. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 15 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is confused homophones, misunderstanding words from other countries, itch corns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is Dave Morris with another episode. Today's episode is one in the series I've called Battling with English, or not series, but the one with the title Battling with English. This is number 5. I'm going to talk today about 3 topics. First one is talking about homophones, that's words that sound similar. Then one of the words that we've taken into the English language from another language that people seem to make mistakes with a lot. And the third subject is to look at egg corns, which I mentioned in a previous thing, which I'll expand on a bit later as I get there. So let's look first at homophones. As I said, these are words that are spelled differently but sound the same. And one of the most quoted groups, when people are pointing out that they're wrong, or just you see them a lot in the wild, are the words rain, rain, and rain. So they sound exactly the same with 3 different spellings. I've got a few definitions. When you go digging for definitions, you sometimes get loads of them. So what I've tried to do is to point you at some useful dictionaries. So you can go and look for yourself and just extracted a few, just to give you the gist. So rain, R-E-I-G-N. What it means as a noun is the period of time when a royal person rules a country. So you would say something like under the reign of the Stuart kings, for example. The second meaning is also a noun, a period of time when a person, feeling, or quality is important. So it's sort of using the same idea but in a different context. So you'd say something like his successful reign as manager of the team. So somebody was the manager of the team and you call the period when they were that had that post their reign as that particular thing. So the other meaning is as a verb, which means to rule a country or to have power or control. So you might say, in England, the sovereign reigns but does not rule. So that's the first meaning. The second word is rein, R-E-I-N. And as a noun, it means a strap attached to the bridle of a horse or other animal to control their movement. It can also mean a means of restraining or checking. As a verb, it means to restrain or control. I'll be talking about correct and incorrect usage in a second. And the third one, which really shouldn't be in this group, but it is a homophone. Nobody mistakes this one, is rain, as in R-A-I-N, which is, as you well know, I'm sure, water falling to earth in drops, or to fall in drops of water as a verb from the cloud. Okay, so those are the 3 words. And what you find is they get swapped around all over the place. So there's an expression to rein in, using the horse bridle thing, R-E-I-N, rein in. You so often see it written as rein in, R-E-I-G-N, which is the royalty control version. So to rein in means to slow something down or get it under control. And it's related to horse riding. It's what you do when you... I've only ridden one horse in my entire life, I think, and I wasn't controlling it. It was being led. But if you want to slow a horse down, you pull on the reins as a signal to slow down. So to rein with the monarchy version is obviously incorrect. Another instance using the two reins. Forget the water falling out of the sky business. So free rein means to give complete freedom, to give full control. And it's related to horse riding. It's when you basically let the horse go where it wants to. So you would spell that R-E-I-N, free rein. So you've basically given the horse control, possibly because it would make better decisions than you will in that situation. But you often see it written as R-E-I-G-N, free rein. So that's obviously correct when you think about it. Third usage, you might say anarchy reigns supreme. The country or whatever is in a state of anarchy and it's overcome everything, is controlled everything. That would be the meaning. Well, there's nothing but anarchy going on. But the incorrect version would use anarchy reigns supreme using R-E-I-N-S, which is to do with guiding a horse. It's got nothing to do with the meaning of that phrase. So I'll leave that subject there, but have a good look at these, because the problem is, you know that there are these various spellings. When it comes to the two reins, the third watery rein, you're not going to, I think I've never seen anybody make that mistake in the samples I've given. I don't think you would easily fall into that trap. But the two forms of rein, the horsey one and the monarchy one, you could so easily be writing a sentence and you write the wrong version without really thinking. Of course, spell checkers are not going to help you, because they're just looking for to complete a word with something based on frequency of use or whatever. So the chances are you'll end up with the wrong one. So the thing to do is to be a little bit more alert about these things, having remembered which is which I'm sure most people do, just that they stumble when it comes to the writing. So let's look at a word from another language, which I hear people using a lot, but infrequently it's used wrongly. And that's because I think it's misunderstood. It's not part of English as such. It's an import. So the word I'm going to look at is pundit, P-U-N-D-I-T. And I've got a pointer to the Wikipedia definition. And it says, I've got a wee quote from it here, a pundit is a person who offers to mass media opinion or commentary on a particular subject area, most typically politics, the social sciences, technology, or sport. So pundit is a noun, and it means a learned person, an expert or authority. Or another meaning is a person who makes comments or judgments in an authoritative manner. The word originates from the Hindi term pandit, which means a learned man. It was brought into English from India maybe as long ago as the 1600s. It's been in English for a long, long time. As I was checking this out, I remember hearing when I was a kid, the news at the time would talk about the Prime Minister of the Republic of India, Mr. Nehru, they talked about, and he was referred to as Pandit Nehru, because that was his sort of common name within Indian English. So the learned Prime Minister Nehru. So what you see is the original word pundit, P-U-N-D-I-T, is often spoken and indeed written as pundant, P-U-N-D-A-N-T. Another incorrect version is pundit, P-U-N-D-I-N-T. Another case of restructuring the word, which is unfamiliar probably, into a more anglicized version. In fact, I was amazed to hear, just as I was getting ready for this show, I was watching a YouTube video from somebody I follow. I won't say who it is because it seems like too much like finger pointing. But in the talk, which was quite erudite and quite deep, the word pundit was used at least twice. And that seems to be very, very strange. I don't understand how people can have a level of education and be alert to the ways of the world and get that one wrong. But I'm probably doing the same myself somewhere or other and not knowing. So the final topic is to look at eggcorns. Now the eggcorn is a word that was coined by Professor Geoffrey Pullum in 2003, and it came from a linguistic discussion of a case where the phrase egg corn, EGG space CORN, had been used instead of acorn, which is fascinating. I don't know where that had come from. Anyway, the term is used to describe cases where someone uses analogy and logic to make sense of an expression, which uses a term that's not meaningful to them. So why acorn was not meaningful to the person who called it an acorn, I don't know. But acorns are of interest to linguists since they show language evolving and indicate possible reasons why a change has occurred. So, for example, the expression, in one fell swoop is quite commonly replaced by in one foul swoop, because the word fell, F-E-L-L, is not much used in common English today, and foul seems to replace the meaning. I think foul, you hear, if you read some sorts of horror stories and things, they talk about fell beasts, where fell means evil or something to that effect. And foul is sort of in the same general area, but you will see the acorn in one foul swoop. So what I've done here is there are links to where you can find out more about acorns. There's a whole database full of them and lots of discussion about them on various websites. But I'm going to just give you four examples just to give you something to think about. So the acorn, the first one is the acorn is damp squid. So damp, D-A-M-P, squid, S-Q-U-I-D. So a large cephalopod mollusk happens to be damp, which is not too surprising. But the original is a damp squib, S-Q-U-I-B. So a firework, they were called squibs when I was a kid, but then I'm a bit old. And there are, I think there still are fireworks called that, but you rarely hear them, you rarely hear the name. But if one becomes wet and fails to go off, it's just a sort of expression of something that doesn't work properly or fails to meet expectations. So a damp squib is a wet firework, basically. But damp squid has become an interesting alternative. Second acorn is for all intensive purposes. And the original is for or to all intents and purposes. So intents as E-N-T-I-N-T-E-N-T-S, sorry, and purposes. So the original meaning was, for every functional purpose, in every practical sense, in every important respect. And it comes from English law in the 1500s. People like to say things like this and take them from the legal world. But to all intents and purposes. I certainly heard it. My father used to work in the law business, he would say this. But it's been converted as an acorn into for all intensive purposes. Now here's the next one. The original is Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer was the medical person who described the disease, and the acorn is old timer's disease. Well, the disease is a neurodegenerative thing that's commonest in people over 65 years of age. But the acorn almost makes sense, I think. Alzheimer's, why would you call it that? Who the hell is Alzheimer? Old timer's disease, if you're over 65, then that probably fits, doesn't it? Yeah, interesting. The last one is something you see amazingly often. It was pointed out when I was reading the stuff, reading up some of the examples and so on, that even J.K. Rowling uses it wrongly in one of her Harry Potter books. And the original is with bated breath, and it means to wait with the anticipation or excitement. Bated means restrained, and it's actually a shortened form of abated. The images of one holding one's breath in excitement. But the acorn version is with bated breath, where the baited is not B-A-T-E-D, but B-A-I-T-E-D. In other words, your breath has got some sort of bait in it, like, you know, you use when you fish, put on the end of your line to catch a fish or something. So I thought, as I was browsing about this, I came across a poem that I vaguely had come across before. The guy called Geoffrey Taylor, 1933, wrote a poem entitled Cruel Clever Cat, and he's basically making fun of the acorn and bated breath. So here's the poem. I think I'm allowed to say it on the podcast, aren't I? Sally, having swallowed cheese, directs down holes the scented breeze, enticing thus with bated breath nice mice to an untimely death. You get the picture, I'm sure. Okay, we'll call that quits, and I hope you found it interesting, and I'll do another one of these in due course. Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.